This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Something's Brewing, your Texas Longhorn football recruiting podcast. I'm your host, Jason Sukumel, back, a one-week hiatus? I hope for those of you who are loyal listeners to the Yak, I hope y'all heard it. I hopped on with Anwar Richardson last week in his Drunk Uncle podcast. Kind of killed two birds with one stone, so I let that take the place of my Something's Brewing podcast. We talked a lot about, obviously, recruiting and recruiting momentum and just kind of my thoughts on where things are and where things are heading. So might be worth taking a listen to that if you guys were jonesing for something last week and you missed it. It was just kind of a big picture evaluation more than it was super timely breaking down different recruits. But anyways, we are here to talk about the latest developments. I think since I recorded my last one 2 weeks ago, Texas has added two commitments. They had an actual decommitment. So never fails, always something somewhat unexpected to talk about. But again, I'll start it off. I hope everybody's doing well. And with this whole pandemic, this ongoing pandemic, I think we can talk about that for the next few months, certainly at least. But looks like we are getting closer to some normalcy. We're going to see schools like the University of Texas having some voluntary workouts, and things are starting to open up. So that's good. Good for everybody, I think, and I hope. And hope everybody's staying healthy and keeping your sanity, man. I'm doing well here. I'd say the worst thing about this pandemic for me, aside from all the casualties and the tragic events from around the world, but for me personally, I haven't been directly hit by it, but I'm just getting fat and lazy and out of shape. The other day, I was literally chasing my 8-year-old daughter around the kitchen. Just a basic kitchen. Couldn't have been moving too far, 5 or 6 feet each direction, I feel like, and chasing around the little island area and this, that, and the other. And I felt like I couldn't catch my breath. I was like, damn, I think I'm about to like have a panic attack or something. I was out of breath. So I actually went out this morning and went for a run around the neighborhood. I've got to get my ass back in gear and back in shape and back to some normalcy. And I did schedule, my wife and I, we were actually scheduled to go to Port Aransas. I've probably talked about this, but like the weekend when this pandemic really hit, and it was my kid's spring break. So it would have been, second week of March. And that's when they kind of started shutting everything down and extending school shutdowns and this, that, and the other. But we were supposed to go to Port Aransas for like 3 days with the kids. I was going to do a working trip because I never get to do things during spring break with the kids because I'm always covering camps and this, that, and the other. And then, my schedule just makes it tough for doing things in the summer and even during Christmas break because that's early signing period. So we were going to do something, like I said, just a quick Tuesday through Friday trip to Port A. Kids love the beach. We haven't done it in forever, but that got shut down. So we are looking at going in late June. I was like, man, let's go somewhere and do something. There aren't going to be recruiting visits. I can work remotely if I need to. So instead of going to the beach, because it's just insanely crowded down there from what I've seen, we're going to try something new and drive straight through and just get a condo. I've already rented a cabin in Angel Fire, New Mexico. My wife's a big used to be a big snowboarder. And obviously we won't be doing that in June, but just to go to the mountains, man, and kind of get some space. And we'll pretty much quarantine in that house, just like we are in our house. We'll, do some to-go food orders and whatnot, but just a change of scenery and just be something good for the family, good for the kids. So if you have any Angel Fire New Mexico recommendations, feel free to email them to me, jason@orangebloods.com, because I think we're going to give it a go as things stand now. But anyways, let's talk a little bit. That's my little personal recap of what's going on with my life. Let's talk a little bit about recruiting, since that's what everybody's here for. So Texas, as I said, I think it would have been 2 days or 3 days after I recorded my last podcast, Texas picked up commitments from Jonathan Brooks, the running back out of Hallettsville. I kind of alluded to that one on the podcast. I said, hey, Texas could have more good news coming. And then they picked up at the same time in a surprise one, a commitment from Casey Kane, the receiver out of powerhouse Warren Easton program in New Orleans. And just a weird deal. I mean, Brooks had announced like a week prior that he was going to commit on Friday, whatever the day that was. It'll be, let's see, going back, it would be the 15th, I guess it would have been, Friday the 15th of May he was going to commit. Well, I hit him up the night before, the day before, had my commitment story written. He gave me quotes and everything. And he's like, yeah, it's going to go down at 2 o'clock. And I was like, all right, dude. So I put my story together. We had a graphic made up. We're all ready to roll. And then word starts to trickle out that Casey Kane is going to make it a commitment on Friday. At first, I didn't think it'd be to Texas because I'd never talked to Casey. Texas had just offered him 2.5 weeks prior to that. But I checked with him and I checked with some sources in Austin. And I just said, hey, do you all expect to be a factor in this? And I was told, yeah, they thought they would be. So I was like, whoa. So lo and behold, he announced at 2 o'clock on Friday afternoon as well. So I had commitment stories written for both guys, which was nice to be prepared. And by 2:05, I was done, man. I'd put them on the front page. I put them on the message board. I flipped their commitments in the Rivals database or flipped them to committed. It was nice to have it done, but it was almost impossible. I had to do one before the other. So I put Jonathan Brooks in, and put his story. And then after, two, three, 4 minutes after getting done with that, Casey Kane, then I loaded his story and all this. And I felt like it was old news. Like I missed the Casey Kane commitment by a couple of minutes just because it was impossible to do both at the same time. But yeah, first time in my career, like I said, there's always something new. There's always first times for everything. First time I've ever seen two commitments, unless they were I can't count two teammates that committed at the same time, like what happened when Malik Jefferson committed. But two players from completely different schools committing at the exact same time. It was a pretty hectic Friday going up to Friday. So what is Texas getting in these commitments? They're both three-star prospects. Neither one are going to just send shockwaves throughout college football in terms of just huge commitments. Jonathan Brooks is a 5.6 ranked three-star prospect. Casey Kane is a 5.5 ranked three-star commitment for Texas. So on the surface, you have Texas fans making jokes, oh, three-star, three-star, three-star. Well, I tell you, I don't think that's necessarily fair. I tell you, if you go and look at the Jonathan Brooks video, pull him up on Huddle. He just posted it, or he's got a senior or junior film rather on Huddle. I mean, this is a guy who really flashes some really good skills. And if you talk to people behind the scenes in Austin, they think they found themselves a real gem here. Okay, Stan Drayton was the first one to offer him. I think it was in October or November of last year. They brought Brooks in for a game. He met with Tom Herman on the field before the game. Tom Herman offered him. Stan Drayton's been doing weekly Zoom calls with him. And so, I mean, this is a guy they really prioritized. And, he really, if you watch his film, he's pretty quick and he's not Kamar Wheaton fast. Not many guys are, but he's got really good vision. And what I tell you, his feel for running in traffic and setting up tacklers or would-be tacklers in space is really, really good. He just has a feel for what's going on around him and then making guys miss even in traffic. And to me, I've said this before, I said, that's kind of a skill you either have or naturally, or you're probably just never going to have it. I mean, I don't know that you can really coach that kind of feel and that kind of vision. So I do like what Jonathan Brooks brings. I mean, he's not dynamic in terms of his speed or his quickness. He's not a dynamic pass catcher the way Bijan Robinson is, but he runs well in space. He's got great vision. He can finish his runs, near the goal line. He's got a good knack for, I said, kind of like making himself skinny between the tackles and finding a crease to punch it in the end zone. He's an adequate receiver. He's shown skills as a receiver. So, I do like the Jonathan Brooks take. I think he's a little bit underrated. You got to wonder about going from Hallettsville, which is 3A to big time Division I ball at Texas. But when I talked to Brooks before his commitment, and I had actually made this comparison in my head, I was like, he kind of reminds me of Keontae Ingram a little bit. He's playing in a smaller classification, but similar. I said the same things about Keontae Ingram. I was like, he does everything pretty well. I don't know that there was one thing when he was coming out of Carthage that I thought, okay, Ingram is just dominant in this one area, but he's pretty good in every area. That's kind of how I feel about Jonathan Brooks, and I think he's a nice complementary piece to Bijan Robinson last year, and if Texas can somehow find a way to get a Kamar Wheaton or an LJ Johnson this year. I think Jonathan Brooks is a really nice pickup for Texas that's probably undervalued in terms of a ranking perspective. Casey Kane, I'll be honest, I didn't know much about him, you know, until 2 days before, or well, I guess it might have been the day before he committed, when he kind of put out there, hey, he's going to go ahead and commit. So then I start watching his video and doing research. I'd never talked to the kid. You know, there's things to like there. He's got good size. He's about 6'3", so he's got a good ability to stretch the field. He was really good at the Rivals New Orleans camp this year. I tell you what he's exceptional at is catching the ball in traffic, even on coming across the middle, or certainly going downfield. He doesn't have the speed to just take the top off a defense and blow by the secondary, but he's kind of sneaky with his footwork. He has no problems getting off the line. I almost said in his footwork, he'll kind of lull you to sleep, and then he can explode either direction, left or right, equally impressively well. So he kind of can lull you to sleep, and you don't ever really know which way he's going to go. Doesn't have a great top-end speed, but he does a really good job of snatching the ball, going up, kind of high point, and snatching the ball over defenders. So, I do like that pickup. You know, normally I think he's a guy that Texas probably could have waited on. I mean, this is a guy who committed without ever visiting. He did a virtual visit, but Mike Yurcich apparently really likes him, thinks he fits in well in his scheme. So Texas saw something they liked there and, you know, went ahead and nabbed him. So two commitments, you know, now they've got to find potentially, hopefully for Texas, another running back, and then certainly another couple wide receivers to build around Casey Kane to finish out that wide receiver group. Now that's the good news, but as tends to happen in recruiting, the recruiting gods giveth two times over, and then the recruiting gods taketh away from Texas with a decommitment from tight end Landon King from Atascocita. Weird, weird deal here, man. I don't even know what to say about it. Other than King committed to Texas and less than a month later, he wound up decommitting. And so much about this one is weird to me because when he committed, first off, the guy was all Texas before he committed. I mean, I had him pegged to Texas going back to, I think it was February when I first talked to him. He had visited and picked up an offer, and he told me his sister went to Texas, and he just raved about Texas. Now, I put my future cast in for the Longhorns then. Now, truth be told, he did garner some pretty impressive offers later in the process, schools like Georgia and Auburn and some others. But, you know, he commits to Texas. He is extremely vocal on Twitter. He's pretty much recruiting for Texas behind the scenes. He's promoting Texas's next commitment and this, that, and the other. And he's just bonding with the other Houston area Texas commitments. And then out of the blue, he just tweets. This was on Friday, so we're going back, whatever, 4 or 5 days. He just puts it on Twitter that he's opened up his recruitment. He's no longer committed to Texas. And I'm like, whoa, I did not see that coming. And talking to people, I don't know anybody who did see it coming. Now, there were some rumors Thursday night and Friday morning, but nobody really took them that seriously. And I fall in that category as well. Well, what I found out after he decommitted, I was checking around and I talked to one of our Auburn guys. And I said, hey, because they were kind of watching it pretty closely. And I asked them what they had kind of heard, you know, what the backstory was there. I said, this one totally caught me by surprise. And they said, yeah, they were talking to Demetrius Davis, who's a new Auburn commitment and the North Shore quarterback who recently committed to Auburn. They were talking to him Thursday night. He was saying, hey, I'm going to get Landon King to come to Auburn with me. And, you know, Landon kind of shot that down on Friday morning is what I'm to another Rivals reporter. And then by Friday afternoon, he has decommitted. So that's a big blow for Texas, man. He's another three-star prospect. He's another guy I think is worthy of a rankings bump. I think he'll probably get a rankings bump at some time. I could certainly see him creeping into four-star territory. You know, he's a good pass-catching tight end. You know, I mentioned schools like Georgia, obviously Auburn. Washington was on him before he committed to Texas. You know, he's got some pretty impressive schools after him, and I don't know what to say other than I think maybe he probably feels, because I've reached out to Landon and he hasn't responded, but I think he probably feels he rushed into the decision a little bit. You know, he likes the idea of playing in the SEC. Demetrius Davis there, his buddy, going to Auburn is going to play a part there probably in the decision, but that's a tough blow for Texas and certainly one that was unexpected by me. I think by the other commitments that he's been talking to. I think even people in the Texas program were probably a little bit surprised by that one. So we'll see what they do here. I don't know if they can get back in the picture with him or if they're going to have to try to find another tight end option. They do have Juan Davis still committed, kind of the jumbo athlete out of Everman. You know, he's not a true tight end per se. So, you know, Texas did not take a tight end last year. They still got Jared Wiley, who's only going to be a sophomore. They've got Braden Leibrock, who's a redshirt freshman. So they've got some young talent at tight end, but they would certainly love to get two tight ends in this class. And, you know, if they can't get Landon King to come back on board, they're going to have to scramble around and find other targets. So those are kind of the big newsy things from the last week and a half, 2 weeks. What I'd like to do now is just kind of sprinkle in some questions that people ask, and then I'll kind of just talk about some different things. So somebody asked me in an Orange Bloods Q&A, is Texas losing ground with DeSoto defensive lineman Shamar Turner? And, you know, my answer to that is I wouldn't say that necessarily, but, you know, the competition for Turner was always going to be tough. He had schools like LSU and Georgia and Alabama he visited. So, you know, this isn't in Oklahoma, and Texas A&M is heavily involved there. I mean, this isn't Texas recruiting against the Oklahoma States and the Baylors of the world, all due respect to those programs. I mean, Shamar Turner has the heavy hitters coming after him. So I wouldn't say Texas is losing ground with Shamar Turner, but let's be honest, some of those other programs have recruiting momentum that right now that Texas just doesn't quite have. I mean, Texas has had some commitments, but they're not, you know, big name, earth-shattering names that are, you know, given the perception of recruiting momentum for Texas. So don't throw in the towel here. Like, you know, I went back and looked at my notes and I said, look, everybody needs to calm down here. I talked to Shamar. It was less than 3 weeks ago. He told me at that time he was close to dropping a top five. He literally put a top or put on Monday night on Twitter, hey, that he's probably going to be putting out his top five any day now. So that goes along with what he told me. What he told me 3 weeks ago is, you know, Texas is very high on his list and great chance of being in that top five. He wants to take visits. You know, he took two visits to Texas earlier this spring before the coronavirus shut everything down. So, you know, I'm not ready to say necessarily Texas is the outright leader there. But I don't think it's time to panic by any means. I think the Longhorns are still in good shape and are still very much in play there. Now, that being said, you got to wonder, because Texas has been throwing out these new defensive line offers. A few of them have gone out this week. So, you know, you got to wonder, okay, is part of that due to how the staff feels about their placement with Shamar Turner? Or is it just because they've been evaluating more film and they've offered a few new prospects, including a couple who are kind of under the radar guys? So let's talk about some of these new defensive line offers. We'll start with one that just came out. It was actually on Sunday of this week. Texas extended this offer and another. And I thought this was interesting. And I'm actually going to try to say this guy's full name. It's Ichukwu Owuna out of Garland Lakeview Centennial. Thankfully for me, he goes by Ike. So that was probably the only time you'll hear me attempt to say his entire name. But Ike Owuna is a defensive tackle, defensive end kind of combo guy. I think he's more of a defensive tackle. He told me this week he's about 270 to 280. And Mark Hagan, the new D-tackles coach, is the one he's been talking with, among others. But the Texas coaches did tell him, hey, we like your versatility, depending on what kind of front they're playing. You know, if they're in a three-man front, he could swing outside. If they're in a four-man front, he'd probably be an inside guy. But I talked to Ike earlier this week, and, you know, he's got some offers from schools like Baylor and Colorado and Boise State. But, you know, this Texas offer, when you look at his offer sheet, just kind of stands out among the all the other offers he has. I think he's up to 12 offers, I think he told me. And he's kind of a new guy, you know, interesting guy to talk to. I mean, he's new to the recruiting process a little bit. He just started blowing up with these offers. He's never taken any visits at all. So he wants to take some visits before he makes any kind of decision. And, you know, I asked him about Texas, of course, and where Texas fits in. And he had great things to say about Texas. And he said, you know, they'd definitely be top three. He didn't say that outright they'd be his leader. But he did say when he got the Texas offer, he was basically bouncing off the walls, and he went and told his parents about the Texas offer, and they were like, oh my gosh, that's a great program, and it's an in-state program, it's close to home, that's where you need to go. So it sounds like his parents are fully supportive of him going to Texas. And I asked, I said, what does your family think, you know, about the idea of you playing, you know, close to home or going far off? And he said, you know what, they don't even care. They're only worried. They don't even really care about the football aspect as much. They're only worried about him getting a good degree. So, you know, a Texas degree stacks up with anything else on his list. So, interesting one to watch there. He's a teammate of five-star running back Kamar Wheaton. You know, a lot of people thought, oh, that's a play to get Kamar Wheaton. I don't think so. I don't think so at all. And talking to Ike, he said he and Kamar have never really even talked about going to the same school. So I don't think this is a play to get Kamar Wheaton. I think Texas likes his size and, as I said, likes his versatility. And they need defensive linemen, including some guys who can potentially play on the interior. So Ike Iwuna is a guy to kind of file away. I mean, he's got that offer now, and we'll see how aggressively Texas pushes him moving forward. They've only been talking to him for a couple weeks, so interesting one there. Excuse me. Jonathan Jones, a defensive end out of McKinney, is another guy Texas offered on Sunday. Another guy I talked to this week. And again, I mean, you look at his offer list, that Texas offer really stands out above the others on his list. So, you know, when I talked to him, and I'm trying to pull up his profile so I can give y'all a rundown of his offers. When I talked to him earlier this week, I think it was actually Sunday night, shortly after Texas offered. I mean, he was sky high on Texas. He's another one. I mean, it's, you know, this is a guy Texas should be able to go out and get. I mean, he's a three-star prospect. I think he's a 5.5 ranking on the Rivals ranking. So, you know, he's not even what I'd call a high three-star prospect, but good player if you watch his film. But I think he's a little bit underranked. But, you know, this isn't Shamar Turner, where Texas is going up against the Alabamas and the LSUs and the Oklahomas and Texas A&Ms of the world. Jonathan Jones has schools like Arizona State, Arizona, Baylor, Colorado, Georgia Tech, Iowa State. I'm just looking at his offer sheet, Nebraska, Missouri. You know, he's got some decent offers, but you say all those, you know, Texas Tech, you say that, and then you say University of Texas. I mean, Texas should stand out in that group, and I think they do after talking to Jonathan Jones. You know, a guy that's said he's been in contact with the staff pretty closely, so sounds like they're prioritizing him a little bit. But again, you got to wonder how, you know, how much are they going to push these guys while they're waiting on a guy like Shamar Turner? And I don't think they're going to necessarily push. I don't think they need to. Talking to both Ike Iwuna, talking to Jonathan Jones, both of them told me, hey, I'm not deciding anytime soon. They want to take their visits and things before they make any kind of decision. So it's kind of an interesting place to be in. You know, you'd think, okay, hey, if Texas offers an in-state three-star, mid-three-star type kid, you know, those are the type that normally you'd expect those kids to, like, jump at them and just jump at that offer and be ready to go. But these guys now are like, hey, I want to enjoy the process a little bit. You know, I haven't really visited many places. So, you know, so we'll have to see. But, you know, I don't think we need to monitor those extremely closely, like anything's going to happen right away. But I think those are guys that certainly could come into play in the fall, depending on how Texas is looking with some of their other defensive line targets. And then an interesting one that they just offered a couple days ago, David Abiara out of Mansfield Legacy. This is a guy, you know, if you hear Ketchum talk on his Lone Star recruiting, so he thinks he's top 20-ish in the state. I mean, Rivals doesn't have him ranked that high, but he's a guy with a pretty impressive offer sheet. He's committed to Notre Dame. There's been a lot of scuttlebutt, and I talked to our Notre Dame guys, and they're like, well, yeah, he's about to I said the timing of the Texas offer I thought was interesting, and they said, well, rumor is he's about to decommit from Notre Dame. I was like, okay, well, that offer makes a little bit more sense than if they know he's about to open up his recruitment. But then you go talk to people who cover Oklahoma, and they're like, yeah, it's pretty much locked in. They feel like that he's going to flip to Oklahoma. And I'm thinking, all right, well, if you're Texas, maybe you're offering him, hoping that he'll slow that process down and want to evaluate things a little more thoroughly and want to give Texas a look. But, you know, if I'm being honest, this feels to me like an offer that should have been made a long time ago. This is a guy with, you know, Notre Dame and Alabama. I'm looking Baylor, Colorado, LSU, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. He's got an impressive offer sheet, Wisconsin, Virginia Tech. I don't really understand why it took Texas so long to get involved here. And now, especially if he might decommit from Notre Dame and potentially immediately flip to Oklahoma. It just seems like the timing of that one kind of missed the mark a little bit. But, maybe there's a rhyme or reason that I'm unaware of. Maybe he's given them indication that he wants to look at Texas closer, and that's why they extended this offer this week. I'm not really sure. And I haven't talked to David yet. I'm trying to get in touch with him. He doesn't do many interviews, so I'm trying to get in touch with him to kind of feel him out a little bit on his thoughts on this Texas offer. So jumping back to a question by a fan, and I'll probably just touch on a couple of these and then wrap this one up here. But, this was a common theme. I did a Q&A on Orange Bloods this week, and this question specifically says, did you ever think recruiting would be in the tank like this after the fire start to this class last summer? And, I hate to say it, recruiting's in the tank. I don't view it that way. I mean, like I said, I get it. Texas doesn't have a ton of momentum now. Yes, they picked up a few commitments, but they're not highly rated commitments necessarily. They had a decommitment from Landon King, as we talked about. But you can't lose sight that last summer, Texas got commitments from guys like Billy Bowman and Jatavion Sanders and Jalen Milroe. I mean, this is still a really good class that's really top-heavy in talent. And you still got guys like the Brockemeyer brothers and Kamar Wheaton and Bryce Foster and Shamar Turner. I mean, this could still be a fantastic, fantastic class. But I can't stick my head in the sand also and say, oh, yeah, Texas is just motoring along. I mean, they have hit a little bit of a lull. And frankly, it's just been a kind of a perfect shitstorm, if you will, for Texas. I mean, you have the pandemic, so they're not able to get guys on campus for visits. They've got a new coaching staff that's trying to develop relationships with these players. They can't recruit in person, so that's hard to do. You can only do so much on Zoom meetings and direct messages and things. Obviously, going 8-5, 7-5 in the regular season last year, that certainly hurt things. You've got some out-of-state schools that are recruiting really well. Oklahoma's doing really well. LSU, of course. Ohio State always does well in the state of Texas. And you've got other schools that are preaching instability in the coaching staff at Texas. They just are. I mean, you had 7 new assistants, and I think that's carrying weight with a lot of prospects. And I'm hearing that they're telling prospects like, hey, you don't even know if Tom Herman's going to be there in 2 years, much less assistant coaches and coordinators and that stuff. So I think some of that stuff is starting to carry some weight. And the only way Texas can really combat that is A, get this season started and play well on the field. You do that, if Texas goes, we've talked about it at length on Orange Bloods, if Texas goes 4-1 to start the season, certainly if they go 5-0, boom. I think recruiting takes off like a rocket ship. I think Texas is fine with a lot of their top targets. If they go 3-2 and lose to Oklahoma and LSU in those first 5 weeks, then you're going to have a lot of people saying, hey, we told you. It's the same old Texas. They're going to be middle of the pack type season. So, you have to, if you're a Texas fan, you need to hope this season starts and starts on time. You need to hope, obviously, that Texas plays well. But you also need to hope, and I don't know when this could happen, because we're in a dead period till the end of June. Then there's an actual dead period in place from all of July. So you got to hope guys can start taking some visits to get them on campus and get some one-on-one FaceTime with Tom Herman, with these new coordinators, with the assistant coaches. Show them the facility upgrades you're working on. I mean, Texas is doing that in virtual meetings, and it's working. Recruits are impressed, but it's not the same as when you see it in person. It doesn't have that wow factor. So, Texas does not have a lot of recruiting momentum right now. There's no way to sugarcoat it, but I just don't know what they can do right now to change it. They're in a really, really tough spot, these coaches are. But, don't lose sight of the fact of the way this class started. I mean, this is still a really good class. I think it's top 13 in the country. I mean, this is a class that could have been much higher. I mean, Texas could have taken Quay Davis, but they chose to kind of focus elsewhere. And, you can nitpick that to death, but they have their reasons for it. And still a really, really good class. People ask me, will it be a top 5 class? I don't know. Top 5 is going to take them getting a couple of these 5-star types, in my opinion. So that might be tough. It's certainly doable, but I think it's going to be tough. But, if we're being honest, this time last year, or actually last probably June and July, when Texas was rolling off commitments every 4 or 5 days, at one point, this was the number one ranked recruiting class in the country. And there was a lot of talk about, hey, Texas might have the number one class in the country when it's all said and done. And now we're thinking, if I'm being objective, I'm thinking top 10 is probably more realistic. Still a fantastic class if they finish top 10, but you know, it's just when the expectations were so high a year ago, you know, it doesn't quite measure up to what everybody was thinking or everybody was hoping for. So we'll see. Things can turn in a hurry. You know, if Texas can get a commitment from a guy like J.D. Coffey in the near future, that would certainly help. It would help him with, you know, a guy like Ishmael Ibrahim, Andrew Makuba, the other defensive back. So things can turn in a hurry. It's just Texas finds itself in a little bit of a tough spot right now, trying to build some momentum during a pandemic with a new coaching staff. It's just a bad hand of cards that Texas has been dealt, but they've got to do the best they can with it. So we'll see. You know, we'll come back in a week, hopefully, and maybe we'll have some new big news to report. You know, maybe somebody will pull the trigger. Maybe a guy like J.D. Coffey gets close. We'll see where it goes from here. But we will check back in a week, and I appreciate everybody giving me your time this week. This has been Something's Brewing. I'm your host, Jason Sukumel. Thanks to our partners at the Yak. And more importantly, thank you to you all for listening and staying loyal. Hope everybody's staying safe. And we will talk to you soon. Take care.